Good. Morning, church. It is so good to be here. I just can't. Joel, thank you. Thanks for the prayer. Thanks for partnering with us. I already, for the students and teachers, I went back to school last week already. Had our first assembly program last week in Toledo, Ohio, and did our first school assembly program, and then we got to share Jesus afterwards, and we had 30 students come to Christ last week already. And there is nothing like leading somebody to Christ, nothing like seeing somebody receive Jesus and knowing that they are saved from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. Matter of fact, I got to pray with this young man, Michael, just Friday, to see him come to Christ over in Toledo. And it's just awesome. And you're going to have that opportunity today. We are in a series called Saved. Stephen taught us about justification, being saved from the penalty of sin. You'll have that opportunity today. And then last week, Joel put post-it notes all over himself. Sorry, that was great. I thought you should have kept the crown on. I thought it was great. Give those guys a round of applause for the last 2 weeks' sermons. Just awesome, awesome job. But no, Joel did. He did a great job, and he taught us. He shared about sanctification, being saved from the power of sin, which is what? Transformation, like that butterfly, being transformed into what God has us to be. Today, I get to preach about glorification. Say glorification. Glorification. That's being saved from the very presence of sin. Doesn't that sound awesome? To be saved from the very presence of sin itself. I have to tell you, if you're here today and you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're a disciple, you're a follower of Jesus, if you're saved, as far as your salvation goes, the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. And I believe that for this church as well. Do you? That the best is yet to come. What God has for this church. I'm sorry, you're supposed to be applauding right now. Come on. What God has for this church. Okay, because it's like for me, fireworks. Anybody here like me like fireworks? Come on, let me see your hands. No, you like fireworks? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, that was awesome. And okay, now, if you've ever, like, Pierce Park or wherever you go, we sit on the lake and watch them around the lake. But what happens? You go, oh. And then the next one is, yeah, you were there. But then you're always waiting for that grand finale, right? When it's just like, just goes crazy. But have you ever been at one and it goes crazy? It's like, whoa, the grand finale. And everybody starts clapping and they pick up their lawn chairs to leave. And then they keep going. And you're like, what? That was so amazing. And that wasn't even the grand finale. No, there was more to come. Let me tell you, no matter what pain, no matter where you've been in your life, I want you to know there's more to come. The best is yet to come. And you're like, there's no way. But that's the whole reason for this series. There's a whole reason for this series is this. The speaking team here at church and the elders really felt like we have an incomplete view of salvation. We have an incomplete view of salvation. That there's more, amen? That there's more. But every time we talk about that, we're like, we want you to see the full picture of salvation, that there's more available. But every time we talk about the glory years, isn't it always something in the past, right? Remember the glory years? Remember when we, even with sports, I mean, this is the week the NFL starts their real games. Right? The Packers start Thursday against the Bears. No, you better say the Bears. All right? And I heard that some people are actually going to suit up. They're actually going to suit up. But you know what? When you talk about glory days, I mean, be honest. We're not like, this is our year. This is going to be the glory year. No. So many times when we think of glorification, glory years, we don't think of what's coming up. Even like, but we still have Rodgers. But we had Favre. That's all my kids have known, those two. Two of the best quarterbacks ever. But I went and I typed glory years of the Packers. And Favre didn't come up. Rodgers didn't come up. This year didn't come up. It actually came up from 1965 to 1967 by a guy by the name of Vince Lombardi. And their quarterback then was Bart Starr. Bart just passed away. What a legacy that he left as a player and as a man and as a believer. We are blessed to have a phenomenal place that we take for granted called Rawhide for young men who have gone astray. They're actually going to honor Bart Starr a week from today. And I personally want to invite you to come out there. Their new CEO, Alan, great guy. He's becoming a good friend. But I think we've even got to think, yeah, you got to sign up by, I'm sorry, a little advertisement here, but you got to sign up by this Friday. And they're going to have, the program starts at 2:00. And his wife, Sherry's going to be there. His son's going to be there. The school out at Rawhide, it's called Star Academy. It's just amazing what they're doing. But when I brought up glory years, it's always the past. But you know what? A lot of times, and I look out, we're aging as a church. And I'm sorry, but I see a lot of gray hairs. And not so much hair. Sorry. And this is fake, so mine's gray too. But you know what? So many times in our glory, we think of the past. When I was a new believer, when Jesus went from my head to my heart, does that make sense? When I knew that I was loved and I was forgiven, when I knew that heaven was going to be my home, when I knew that I was saved, if you will, man, I was so excited. You may not believe this, but I had a lot of passion. And I had to tell everybody. But an older Christian came up to me and said, "You're a new believer, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I could tell." He says, "You have what they call new believer zeal." He said, "But don't worry, it'll wear off." He said this to me. I'm like, "What?" It's worse. He said, "It's like marriage." He said, "You." I'm like, "Maybe like your." I'm sorry, dude. Let's pray. I'm like, he said, "It's like marriage. It starts with the honeymoon, and it's all downhill after that." He said, "But it's really about that commitment love, anyways." Now, don't get me wrong. Commitment is so important. But I've been married for 35 years, and I got to tell you this. I love my wife more today than the day that we wed. It's getting better and better and better. And you know what? That's too imperfect. Well, she says she might be perfect. That's two imperfect people. And if two imperfect people can fall more and more in love and commitment after 35 years, then how much more with the God of the universe, who is perfect love? Young people that are here, don't get me wrong. Marriage is hard work. But is it also awesome and amazing? And God's design. Marriage is God's design. But the institute of traditional marriage is under attack. And so Christians are fighting back to defend marriage, which I guess is good. But you know what? The best way I think you can defend marriage is? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a marriage that would entice any young person today to get married? We're known for what we're against instead of what we're for. The same thing about being saved. There was a speaker that was just at Moody Bible Institute. And he said, "This generation, this next generation, feels like they don't need to be saved from sin. They feel that they need to be saved from us, Christians. the goal of this series that's called Saved. This comes right from the speaking team. I put it up here. Get this. This is what this three-part series is supposed to do. It's supposed to inspire hope in and anticipation for the fullness of salvation. Now listen, and to entice people who don't follow Jesus to receive Christ and embrace his full salvation. That's our hope. If you just get a little more knowledge and what we have doesn't entice others, then we've failed this series. Let me ask you, will you be honest today? Does your faith entice someone else to follow Jesus? If it doesn't, it can. Because what is the source of our salvation? What's the core of our salvation? It's Jesus. And can I tell you about him? Jesus is our salvation. And he is hope. He is peace. He is love. He is power. He is freedom from shame. He is freedom from guilt. He's freedom from emptiness. Salvation brings purpose and meaning and forgiveness and transformation. And salvation brings a bright hope for the future where everything will be perfect. That's called glorification. That's called glorification. What I want for you is this. I want you to understand the fullness of your salvation. There is more. It can be better. So a little review, and I want to say it a little different than the last two guys have. I am saved. Say, I am saved. I am being saved. And I will be saved. One more time. I am saved. I am being saved. And I will be saved. Now listen, I am saved from the penalty of sin. You're going to be tested on this, so remember this. You hate tests, you're going back to school, get ready, here we go. I am saved from the penalty of sin, that's called justification. Remember the balance that Stephen did up here with the balancing beam, right? I am saved from the penalty of sin, that's called justification. I am being saved from the power of sin. That's called sanctification. And I will be saved from the very presence of sin, and that's called glorification. Can I make something really clear? The culprit is, always has been, and always will be sin. The problem is sin. And you've heard it from this pulpit many times. If sin isn't that bad, then grace isn't that good. The problem is sin. And hear this. The penalty of sin is death. Separation from God, here and forever. The power of sin is destructive. And there will be no glorification without being saved from the very presence of sin. Does that make sense? Are you with me? See, sin wants to, and if you let it, it will destroy you. It'll destroy your health, your soul, your marriage, your kids, your communities. It will enslave you, it'll encompass you, it'll possess you, and it'll just take control of your thoughts forever. And if those things take a hold of you, that'd be living hell. And that'd be eternal hell. But can I tell you God's heart this morning? He desires glorification. He wants you to be saved from the very presence of sin. You know what that would be? That'd be perfect. That'd be like returning to paradise. That would be hashtag blessed. Real hashtag blessed. Because that'd be kingdom. You know what that's called? Heaven. Glorification. That's why we started this. That hope of one day when everything's going to be made right. Okay, we're going to put it up on the screen. Little review. You better get it right. Or we're going to sit here all day. You're like, well, you're speaking. We're going to anyways. All right. Told ya. Here we go. I am saved from the penalty. Say it again. I am saved from the penalty of sin. And that's called? That was pretty weak. Let's do it again. I am saved from the
penalty
of
sin.
And that's called? I am being saved from the
power. That sounded really powerful.
Come on. I am being saved from the
power
of
sin.
And that's called?
Sanctification.
Here we go. And I will be saved from the very presence of sin. And that's called?
Glorification.
Give yourself a hand for that one. That was good. I was giving you a grade. Some of you, the only A you ever got was an amen. Let me tell you a quick story. And I say this with permission, but I have a brother-in-law. His name is Arnie. And Arnie came to Christ and really dedicated his life when we were building this building. But with Arnie's permission, Arnie has a shady past, a broken past. Arnie's an alcoholic. And even as a dry alcoholic, he's struggles with being a very dysfunctional person. Actually, I gotta tell you, that's not in my notes, but my sister Lois challenged him in the sanctification part of salvation, right? Because Lois was there when Arnie got baptized, and Arnie would come to all our, you know, functions that our kids had birthdays. And my sister Lois sometimes didn't get away with things that we can't. And Arnie just told me this last weekend. Lois looked at him and said, Arnie, how can you tell people about Jesus and still be so mean? Arnie goes, that kind of got me. But because of the dysfunction, Arnie and I, the only time we're ever in a car together is we drove 6 miles to get some gas for a party we're having. You're like, what kind of party do you have? You need gas. But I'll tell you later. But we just went to my wife's cousin's 50th anniversary up in the UP. There, hey. And we invited Arnie, and Arnie drove with us. And we spent up there and back close to 6 hours together. And it was pretty awesome. And Arnie goes, Bob, I know I don't deserve heaven. I know I deserve hell, right? Everybody does, right, Bob? And I for sure do. He said, but Bob, I just want to make sure that I validate my ticket. Now, let me make something clear that's been taught on the last 2 weeks. Salvation is not just for the next life. It's about this life, about being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, not just in heaven. In real life here, real success here, life to the fullest, is not in success, not in fame, not in money. It's not in things, not even religion. But real life on earth is having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart. That's what life is. That's hashtag blessed. That's what it is. That's been clear from this pulpit. But with that said, I gotta admit, I am really tired of those who say, oh, you're just looking for fire insurance from hell. And you're just looking for a ticket to heaven for the afterlife. Well, let me make something clear. If there really is a hell, and the Bible says there is. And if there really is a heaven, and the Bible says there is, I want to be sure. Don't you? Isn't that important? So you know what I want you to do today? I want you to validate your ticket. I want to validate your ticket. I said to Arnie, you know what you're saying is biblical. He goes, what? I said, yeah, look at this. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. Examine, and God's saying this to you, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you have failed the test. So to fail the test means Christ really isn't in you. Did you get that? Did you validate your ticket? This happened about 3 weeks ago when Arnie and I were together. Just Wednesday. Arnie was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he said he might only have three months left. He goes, Bob, at my funeral, you tell people I know I don't deserve heaven, but that I'm 100% confident that that's where I'm going to go, because God loves messed up people like me. Check your ticket. I fly a lot. Matter of fact, within a few months, I will hit my 2 millionth mile on just Delta. I know. That means 1 million is 40 times around the whole earth. That means I have flown on a plane around the earth 80 times. They always say, we want to thank you for your status. I'm like, my wife doesn't. But I was flying home from Portland, Oregon, and I had my ticket bought because I wanted to go home. Don't you long for home where there's no more tears? But when I went to the airport, they looked at my ticket and they said I couldn't get home from there. I'm like, what do you mean? I paid good money for this ticket. He said, sir, look at your ticket. It's from Portland, Maine, not Portland, Oregon. Oops. I was sure I was going home. I didn't get home that day. What about you? A friend of mine passed away. He was a non-believer, very clear about it. Self-centered party life. Didn't have interest in Jesus or church. And after he died, he did the funeral, and the pastor said that he's in heaven now. And a friend, a mutual friend, said, well, at least he's in heaven, right, Bob? I hope so. And she got so mad at me. She's like, you are so arrogant. How could you say that? I'm like, well, did he want to be with Jesus here? Did he believe? I'm not trying to judge. But God's not going to force him to be somewhere we didn't like. And the Bible says it's appointed to all people to die, and then comes a judgment. Was Christ in him? You know how many people think they're going to heaven because they were a part of a church or because they made a commitment of their own strength or they're good enough or they gave? This girl had a wake-up call, and she looked at me and she said, and I'm sorry, I don't want any denominations, but this is her words. Bob, at my funeral, the priest would be telling everybody that I was in heaven as I'd be entering the gates of hell. Do you have eternal life? Do you have the promise of glorification? Are you sure? Do you know today where you'd spend eternity? But so many people say, Bob, you can't know. It's like that scale. We'll see if I die, if I've been good enough. Stephen made it so clear. But I want you to know the Bible says you can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13 says this. He who has the Son, Jesus, has life. He who does not have Jesus does not have life. I write these things to you, believe in the name of Lord Jesus, that you can know you have eternal life. I don't want, we're not going to push anything on anybody, but I want you to walk out of here today knowing that either I know that I'm saved and that heaven is coming and glorification is coming. How? John 1:2 said, as many as receive him, gave he the right to become children of God. Now, let's make it clear. Can you justify yourself? Not that way, guys. I can. Can you get yourself clean on your own? No. Can you sanctify yourself? Can you get all those off, those addictions? No. Can you glorify yourself? No. Can you save yourself? No. But without glorification, where's the hope for the hard times, the struggles in this life? Because the enemy will keep bringing them. And pain and loss. I mean, mom and dad. How way too close are Peter and a good friend from Little Chute, Ellen Shep, just passed away this last week at 57, a heart attack. I've shared this before, but on August 8th, it was 20 years since my mom passed away. I think we got even a picture of my mom. And it's been 20 years, and I got to keep going here quick, but when mom was on her deathbed, people were coming to say goodbye, and Sarah Polzak, a good friend, who had lost her sister Amy Barsh at only 32 to cancer, she knew the grieving process, and she knew it's okay to be angry at God. He's big enough, he can handle you being real. And she came in and said, "Jan, are you mad at God? Do you feel like God's abandoned you?" And I'm going, "Yes, yes." See, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a hurry and I get a red light, God doesn't care. If it's raining out and there's no parking spots up front, he doesn't exist. In high school, if a girl broke up with me, that never happened. First, you'd have to have a girlfriend. But I'm like, "Yeah, God, abandon us, I'm mad." But my mom, true story, her eyes got this big, and she goes, "No, God didn't abandon me. He loves me." She was only 63. I'm like, "What are you saying? You're on your deathbed. I want a mom. I want my kids to have a grandma. How can you say he loves you?" Hear me clear. She said, "Bob, if you look at the circumstances of life, you'll always question if he loves you. But if you look at the cross, you'll always know that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off problems. Get your eyes on," it's not there right now. "Get your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. He is in love with you." And this is a long verse, but I'm still going to read it all. Listen to this up along. "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It'll be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it was written, the first Adam became a living being. The second Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. And as was the earthly man, so those who are the earth. And as the heavenly man, so are those of the heaven. And just as you have been born of the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable put on the imperishable. Let me tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and the imperishable and the mortal to immortality. And the perishable will be clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you, always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know this, your labor is not in vain. When my mom died, did you ever cry when it hurts down here? And like, is that not the darkness all over you? And I'm crying, and my mom, my wife is here, and my kids, my grandma had to watch her daughter die, and my dad. It's only the second time I saw my dad ever cry. But when he starts crying, we're all crying. Mom just passed into eternity. True story, and I've shared this once here only. My dad lifts his hand and goes, "Yes! Yes!" We're like, "You're sick!" True story. But he went, "Yes, yes. Cancer didn't win. She's in heaven. Cancer didn't win. She's in heaven. That's the truth. Do you believe that? That's glorification. The Word of God says it this way. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old things have passed away. Revelations 21:14. In heaven, not even a presence of sin. Everything made new. Everything made right. Glorification. Can I make something loud and clear? The problem isn't trying to validate your ticket. It's thinking that you can just get justification and glorification without sanctification. Does that make sense? Validate your ticket's not the problem. The problem is when you think you can just get justification and glorification and not. Now, I know I'm going to date myself, but there was a song by Meatloaf. And it said, I want you, I need you, but there ain't no way I'm ever gonna. But don't feel bad, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That may work for that song, but it doesn't work for salvation. It's all or nothing. It's all 3 or none. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way, the great German pastor, theologian, martyr, the spy who was asked in 1943, how is it possible that the church to sit back and let Hitler seize absolute power? His final answer was firm. It was a teaching of cheap grace. Listen to this. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. I would add grace without sanctification. Grace without the cross. Cheap grace is grace without Jesus Christ, and it's not salvation at all. Last week, basically, if we can wrap up what Joel said, in sanctification, it's time to grow up. Instead of speaking the here's what Scripture says. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in every respect to mature body of Him who is the head, that is even Christ. Real quick warning, I don't have time to do this, but look at this verse, Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master they will stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. I have 11 grandkids from 8 to 1 years old. They're all at different places. One's just learning to get his walking down, right? One is learning cribbage already. A bunch of them still wear diapers. Does that mean some of them aren't born yet? I'll have somebody that receives Christ, and I'll tell somebody, and somebody will say, oh, I don't know if it was real. I'm like, what do you mean? I heard him swear yesterday. I am saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Let's not judge another one, but let's put our hope in the glory to come. Colossians 3:1-4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on others. When Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. Why? You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Glory. The best is yet to come. We're going to sing this song over again. Let me just read you the lyrics. I just want you to know I'm not going to die for a long time. I'm sorry. But when I do, this better be at my funeral, because it's the whole gospel. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Rising, He, there it is, Stephen, justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one, bringing my Savior. Jesus is Jesus is mine. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your, that's sanctification. You're not your own. Man, there's been a lot of deaths lately. And this year, I went to a friend of mine's mom's funeral, and you might remember Lynn Brown. Lynn Brown died, and at the funeral, by this verse in her Bible, she wrote, Jesus wants what he paid for. Did you hear that? Jesus wants what he paid for. Can you imagine going to the store to buy a new pair of Nikes and you pay for them way too much and you walk out without them? Or worse yet, you go to a grocery store and you buy a cart full of groceries and you pay and somebody else takes them. Jesus wants what he paid for. We're going to have communion this morning. You know what was paid for you? He took the bread and he said, this is my body, which will be broken for you. Scripture says no greater love can a man have than to lay down his life for a friend. That's what he did for you. That's why my mom said, keep your eyes, there's the cross. Keep your eyes on the cross. And then he took the blood. He took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's my blood, which will be shed for you. You know what this was? Payment for you. He purchased you. He bought you. He paid the price in full. You're not your own. But you don't get to pick one and not the other. It's full salvation. Justification, saved from the penalty of death. The penalty of sin called death. Sanctification, saved from the power of sin. And one day, glorification, saved from the very presence of sin. Would you stand with me? And before we take communion, I want to pray with you. And that first picture I showed of that young man, Michael, receiving Christ in his heart, that just 30 people in Ohio just came to Christ. I want to pray with you that prayer. Would you validate your ticket today? Do you know you're going to heaven? If not, you can. And maybe you know that your ticket, make sure it says Portland, Oregon. Make sure it's not because you're religious or better than somebody else. Make sure it's not in your good works or you think you deserve it. Make sure it's whatever. None of us deserve it. But maybe you're here and you say, Bob, I wanted just a ticket for heaven, which is fine. But I'm not growing. I become stale. I want all three parts or none at all. You can't have two out of three. I'm asking every person to pray this out loud after me. Would you pray this? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I can't save myself from the penalty of sin. That's death. Separation. That's hell. I can't save myself from the power of sin. Sanctify me. Set me aside for your work. And there's no hope of glory. No hope of heaven without you. I know I'm a sinner, but somehow you still love me. I will look at the cross And I believe you swallowed up death. And when you rose from the dead, you brought me hope. I want salvation. All of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, and you know, maybe for the first time, that when you die, glorification is going to be yours. Heaven. You're saying, Bob, once and for all, today is the day. I'll settle it. Would you raise your hand right now? Awesome. Awesome. Give them a round of applause. Keep it up. Keep it up. Give them a round of applause. We're going to have people, if you raise your hand, we're going to have people in lime green shirts lined up on the sides. You can't miss them. And during, we're gonna have communion together. Communion people, you can come. Greeters, would you come with communion right now? But during, we're going to have communion together. But I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, right? You're all in, right? Eyes were open, not like, oh, me and my eyes open. If you raise your hand during this next three songs, I'm asking you we're going to stand in anyways. Just move and go to the people on the side. Where's someone here? Beautiful green. Show them what the green looks like. All right? Yeah. Yeah, come on up. You got to see it, okay? We're going to have some volunteers, and they're here to help you walk with your faith. So if you raise your hand, you find it'll be on the side and it'll be up here. Find one of these people, and they can pray with you. They have a Bible for you. You can start handing that out. But here, I'm going to ask one more question. If you're here and you say, Bob, I don't want 2 out of 3. I want all in. The best is yet to come. From glory to glory to glory. Starting heaven on earth. And then one day, Bob, I want all parts of salvation. I want to re-surrender my life. If that's you as a believer here, the best days for Christ Rock are still coming. Would you raise your hand right now? Awesome. Church, look around. Put it up. Look around. The best is yet to come. Marriage can get better and better. Salvation, better and better till one day. It's all. And if you need prayer, you find one of those people in the green shirts and pray with them, or come up here. Make this an altar today during this time. But I'm asking you right now, I'm going to ask you to examine yourself. We have open communion here. That means that if you call yourself a believer, you're free to partake. But I'm asking you to, before you do, to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Don't take communion unless you're saying, I'm all in. He died for me, shed his blood for me. And then when you take it today, know this, you are loved and forgiven. We're going to sing this song again. You're free to take communion when you will. People can start already going to the people that are in the green shirts for prayer. But we're going to sing this song twice in one service. But this song, look at all three parts of salvation and rejoice. And then afterwards, if you re-surrendered your life, if you surrendered for the first time, this church is amazing. It has all three points, in case you didn't get it. Justified, sanctified, glorified. But on the back, it's fall. New programs are starting up. It's like the next step, coffee, if you just receive Christ, small group Bible studies, spiritual gift development, discipleship group. You're struggling with something like that sanctification addiction. You lost somebody, grief support group. Please, everyone, let's all in, all in. But God, as we sing this and as we partake, I pray life will never be the same. For you died, you rose. And whether we lose you, like Peter just lost his mom and dad, those who know you will spend eternity with you. But one day you're going to blow that trumpet and there'll be no more sin. Partake, worship, respond. In Jesus' name.